Welcome to the Gifters Podcast. I'm your host, Christopher Kai. This podcast is sponsored by the GPS Online Program, which teaches you how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business. For more information, go to ChristopherKai.com. Our guest today is Yvonne Maffei. She's a culinary media and e-commerce entrepreneur, chef, award-winning author. Halal cooking is her expertise, as well as Middle Eastern food. She's also a culture expert. Yvonne, welcome to our podcast.
Thank you so much for having me, Christopher.
So I'm excited and I'm a bit perturbed and annoyed at my Muslim friends because they never told me what halal means.
They just fed you.
Yeah, literally, right? So, and they might have said it, but I was just so salivating over eating that I might not have heard.
Oh, interesting.
What they're talking about because, well, first of all, again, talk to us about what is this My Halal Kitchen?
So My Halal Kitchen is a website that I developed around 11 years ago as a result of feeling like halal is this term that very few people truly understand, particularly outside of the Muslim community. But the focus is on food and cooking, and I really wanted to allow the Muslim community to be exposed to like a variety of global cuisines that they may not have grown up with or been exposed to in the traditional sense of foods that hail from the Muslim world. So for example, my own heritage is Italian and Puerto Rican, and I wanted to have cuisine explained and allow for substitutes that may not be halal, for example, alcohol or pork, and then make those substitutes in very traditional Sicilian dishes or Puerto Rican dishes or American dishes, and then let people sort of enjoy something classic, but with that halal twist. And also for people who had no idea what halal is, I wanted it to be a place where they could come and learn more about the meaning of halal. And then just to see that, you know, once you get past that understanding of what it means, you just go on and start enjoying some really delicious food and recipes. And so it's a place that where, you know, everybody is welcome, and Muslim or not, just anybody who's interested in good, delicious food and, you know, wants to come to the table to enjoy that.
Yeah, and if people understand history, there's a guy named Jared Diamond. He wrote a book many years ago, and he talked about the Fertile Crescent, where the Fertile Crescent around the Middle East is literally where you had like all the shish kebabs and the hummus, like all that was where the world ended up becoming farmers in terms of the Fertile Crescent. And the food is amazing. I've been to the Middle East many times. I'm curious, how did you go from being an Italian, Latino American to being a Muslim? Like, what was the journey there?
Well, it really started with traveling. I was always very interested in different cultures and language and food because my parents exposed me to that when I was very young. They were very much about having friends from different cultures, even though they themselves came from very traditional families. They just really loved, you know, finding a cool Greek restaurant or international festivals we had in our town. They never missed them and always, you know, explained things to me and, you know, showed me like, hey, this is something different and unique. And so when I got to college, I decided to study Spanish and I went abroad in Spain, studied Spanish, but then had this intrigue about Morocco and just said, I don't, you know, it's not that far. Let me go there and kind of see what's there. And when I went there, I was really exposed for the first time in my life to Muslims and Islam. And I had absolutely zero knowledge of what it was. I mean, I actually confused Muslims with Buddhists because I it was just something very mysterious to me. I didn't know how they prayed. I grew up Catholic. All I really knew were churches. I'd never been in any other place of worship than a church. So being in Morocco, I got to kind of see inside of a mosque and I got to talk to Muslim people and they, you know, I was no stranger to the news and seeing stuff that were in newspapers and on the TV about Muslims or the Muslim world. And I'm not gonna lie, I was a little scared to go, but my intrigue and curiosity was greater than the fear. And 3 days in Morocco changed my life forever because I came back saying, these people were some of the nicest people I've ever met, very humble. And now I want to know more about what makes them tick, you know, what, because I understood the underlying current was this religion and it was very different from in Spain. You know, there was a difference between Catholicism and Islam. And I'd actually been learning that in school in Spain. So I had a history class where the professor went into very deep detail about this. And so I just sort of took that experience, back with me to university in Ohio, Ohio University. And from there, I just decided I would make more Muslim friends because I wanted to know more about them. And then I realized, my goodness, these people are from Malaysia and Qatar and UAE and Indonesia. And like, I had all these friends that were Muslim. I didn't know they were Muslim. And then after slowly talking with them, and then of course the food comes and you start sitting down with them and having very fascinating Malaysian food, Indonesian food, Palestinian food. I mean, my world just opened up to the most beautiful experiences from those college friends. And that's where the conversations went from, you know, culture to politics to religion. And then they kind of, I kind of slowly just asked for information, books. I really wasn't interested in changing my religion. I had no desire. I was just a very curious person about, you know, what makes people tick. I just find that fascinating. And then over the years, the more I read about Islam, I just thought, well, this is actually a very peaceful religion. And I know that politics shrouds a lot of truth and it creates a lot of fear, and people just, things can be very messy in the news. And so I was able to see through a lot of that. And I made the decision for myself that, you know, I want this to be part of my spiritual life. And I really needed that spirituality. And so I decided to become Muslim. And 2 months later, 9/11 happened. So from, you know, being a very new Muslim and part of a community back in Ohio, I then was shifted into, can you please be a teacher to help people understand what Islam is in our community, because you speak English, you're American, and blah, blah, blah. So yeah. It went from, you know, being a very newly practicing person to then being asked to explain what your belief is. And although that was really helpful in you know, sort of articulating what my values were, I didn't feel comfortable with the theology, because I'm not a theologian. I'm not a politician. There's so many factors in the questions people were asking. I didn't feel competent enough, you know, to go to past a certain level. And I said, you know, this is too uncomfortable for me, in the sense that I don't want to make mistakes. These are not my areas of expertise, but what I really do know is food. And that's what I'm comfortable with. And that's what I know makes people calm down. It neutralizes the energy at the table. People can be so upset and angry about things. And I learned this from my Sicilian grandmother. She used to say, you know, everybody would be like angry or cranky or, you know, upset about something. And she'd say, oh, you know what? Everybody just come and eat. And then the whole mood of the table changes. And then people kind of, you know, calm down and talk a little bit more, like, hey, did you like the chicken? What's in it? And, you know, like, I learned that from a young age. And so I think that having delicious food, you know, just for me, I feel like I can converse more easily. I think other people can converse more easily, and then just makes people happy. And through that, then I think people open up and want to talk about their own cultures, their own traditions they're proud of. And that's a place where I think more people can find a level playing field of respect, and you know, conversations just go a lot nicer. And I love that. That's like my driving force for creating delicious food and bringing people together from all different backgrounds. I've seen it happen time and time again. And I always say, like, the term culinary diplomacy is so real, because diplomatic relations can go so well over good food. Right.
It's interesting you mentioned that, because based on science, there's a hormone called serotonin, where it's like the mood controlling hormone, and 90% of that is from our gut. Mm-hmm. So it's not a coincidence that when you talk about food and diplomacy, or diplomacy in your household, that 90% of our serotonin, again, the mood, the feel good, the mood stabilizing hormone, is from our gut. So it's just fascinating.
Yes. I believe that wholeheartedly. Yeah.
What's one thing you hope that our listeners really taste, or try to taste or feel or attempt to understand about halal cooking, or because you're an expert in halal cooking. So where should they consider learning more about either making it themselves or going to other places to try it?
Well, I think around the world, I mean, not just in the US, but I'm hearing about countries you would never think of having halal food, like even in Japan these days, and Thailand, that halal restaurants are popping up everywhere because of more and more people traveling from the Muslim world or from Western countries. But I would say if anyone is just curious, you know, to talk to people at grocery stores, like Middle Eastern, Mediterranean grocery stores, just hop in. They have really cool products and interesting, you know, meats and cheeses and prepared foods. And you know, just ask people, hey, you know, what's this about? Everybody will be happy to explain a little bit, you know, surface information, but it will kind of ease the fears or, you know, kind of, you know, just start a conversation and, you know, kind of realize there's a big normalcy there. Like it's really just food that is like, okay, we focus a lot on the meat because it's processed in a certain way. But once people really understand what that is, then the clarity is there. There's a real transparency to halal and what halal means in terms of meat. But then when it comes to cooking, it's like, okay, there's just really no alcohol or pork products in it, basically. And you just get beyond that. Then you get over that and say, okay, well, I can make anything I want with any kind of cuisine. It doesn't matter. So I think that either visiting a grocery store or a restaurant where, let's say it's a Middle Eastern restaurant or Indo-Pakistani restaurant, and call them, hey, you know, do you serve halal food or halal meat? And then try to go and then make a conversation with people. Don't just ask. I think if you don't ask, people really won't just offer up the information because they won't want to put that on you. You know, they won't want to say, well, do you know it's halal? Because, you know, no one will really say that.
Yeah.
But I think everybody would love to talk about it because who doesn't want to explain something they believe in, or, you know, who doesn't want to answer those kinds of questions? But of course, online, there's a lot now too. And they can also visit my website, myhalalkitchen.com.
Please. So your website is myhalalkitchen.com?
Yes, yes. And I have lots of information about halal, including like myths that people have come to me about, like, you know, just things that people think halal is. And so I kind of, you know, wrote about that in a few blog posts about, like, you know, certain things that people just assume about halal. Yeah. And, you know, I'm not offended by anything that people assume, even if they come to me angrily. I'm like, that's okay. Because you just, if you know, don't know, it's easy to be afraid of something you don't know, or it's easy to kind of foo-foo it if we don't know.
Yeah. But that's great. Yvonne, thank you so much for being on our podcast. You've already shared how to stay connected with you. So it's myhalalkitchen.com.
Yes, it is.
Thank you so much and have a great day, Yvonne.
Thank you so much. You too. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Gifters Podcast. If you want to learn how to turn your story into a successful speaking and online coaching business, go to christopherkai.com to learn more.